Welcome to the final episode of the Doghouse, or the ultimate, ultimate episode, depending upon.
Ah, you took my line. So no longer the penultimate.
No, nope, no more pens. There will be no more pens.
No more
pens. Yeah, final episode of the Doghouse, 17 years in the making, which only goes to show you that we don't know when to quit.
We're idiots.
We are idiots. We are idiots. 17 years. Phil was a young man when we started this.
So was Ken.
I guess it was Ken 17 years ago. Yeah.
Wow. I've been here a bunch of them, and you guys have been old the whole time.
That is true. I'm wondering what Warren's going to have done next. Like, Phil's had his mouth and his ears redone, or at least one redone, right? And I just had my balls relocated. And well, Warren is due. That's right. And Warren's due next.
No, don't even bring that bad mojo over this way.
I think they're gonna probably let the air out of your head.
Are we not talking about your hysterectomy?
Yes, that's right.
Not scheduled for quite a while.
I didn't know we weren't talking about that.
Yeah, so anyway, so it's the final episode of the Doghouse after all these years, and actually had a couple listeners reach out to me this week, which shocked the living crap out of me.
Oh, anything good?
So it must have been somebody who said, if you have any complaints, send an email. Yeah, I was going to say, well, you know, it wasn't like you guys were complimenting us as we're burning 17 years of our limited lifespans. Right?
Was somebody complaining about us?
No, they weren't. I said, no, but they weren't. No, they were just saying, why are you guys doing it? You know, so one said why, and one said about time, which I thought was pretty funny.
I respect that person.
I totally respect that.
Sorry.
And I said, yeah, why didn't you tell us that 15 years ago? You could have saved us a lot of time.
Why are you still listening?
They said, why are you still doing this show now that Emma's gone?
Well, I mean,
one comment, right? That was another one of the things that was in that email. Like, you know, it's really about time. Yeah, I thought that was kind of. I would have to agree.
That means they've been listening quite a while.
I would have to agree.
That's like,
well, not long enough, but clearly.
That's like a P1 though, because Emma wasn't on all that long.
She was on. No, that's right. That is a P1 because
five or six months, I think.
Yeah,
I don't think it was that long.
Probably close to that. She was around for a while, but I mean, it wasn't all. It was like, remember, sometimes she was not there, and then she'd come in. She was never there, but that's a whole different matter, right? But it doesn't matter because her most impressive features were always present.
Yeah.
So, you know, it didn't really matter. And actually, today we get to talk about the 250s anyways and the 450s.
The 450s and the 250s.
Yeah. Oh, so, well, I mean, you know, you think back about it, you know, on if I said to you, Phil, because you've been here since the beginning, what would be to you the most memorable thing that happened on the Doghouse after all these years?
I can answer that question for him. When I came along.
Okay.
Well, I mean, that's my second biggest mistake.
Well, that could be something you couldn't forget. So, right?
Yeah. Like pooping your pants in church.
Yeah. I'm kind of curious what you think.
I will tell you this. I was actually talking to. I'm working with a new person today now at work. Right. My chauffeur left to go to a different department.
So crushing dreams as usual.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, just something. And I was kind of talking about this being the last episode. And the one that sticks out the most in my mind is the Ben Spisa interview.
Really?
I think I had so much fun doing that interview and was so pumped after doing that interview. But there's been a lot of great times.
There's been a lot of great people. I would say that you know, trying to remember studio guests, trying to remember people that actually came in studio, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, to me, that was, you know, we did, there were a lot of good interviews. So that was the thing. There wasn't many bad interviews, right?
I just remember like Yamaha corporate sharing that and stuff. And I was just like, I thought that was just the best. And like looking back, that was one, you know, people that came in studio, Michelle Smith, Kenny Kelly.
That was one of the ones that sticks out to me is Michelle Smith, because that was at a time when she was still pretty big, right? Yeah, in the industry.
She was like top of the line and was like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And what a great person.
And easy on the eyes too.
Oh yeah.
So which her show was really important.
Remember that? American Thunder.
American Thunder. Yep. Yeah. We actually, my motorcycle shop had a motorcycle on American Thunder.
Yeah.
Do you remember that, Phil? And Tim.
Yeah.
Tim actually was on American Thunder with the USO bike.
Yeah, I was gonna say it was the USO bike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I just think back. I think when I look back, I think it just like the fun. I liked meeting the guests. If you ask me, one experience that I had a great time was when Warren and I went to Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And had all the people in the lobby of the hotel watching the race.
Yeah.
Where it was just like this.
We plugged it into the big screen TV. And first it was just him and I. And by the end of the race, there was probably 15 people there.
One listener up there, Chris, I know he still listens. And there was a bunch. I don't even know how many people. And we were sending them over to, what was that place? With the sandwich.
The sub shop.
Pramati Brothers and stuff. It was just, I had a good time doing that. I liked some of the events, even Ken, like the stuff we used to do in our times.
I enjoyed, my favorite was going down to VIR, Virginia International Raceway, and we got to hang out and have a little bit of lunch with Wayne Rainey and Chuck Askin.
Yeah.
You know, that was, you know, the owners and operators of Motor America, they came around to our little spot.
Wayne Rainey from the very, very beginning with us when they came in, he was very available to us because he was willing to just chat and stuff with us.
So I was
appreciative of that. Chuck was primarily more kind of in the background. I mean, I know Phil talked to him a lot in the background, but at the races and you know, Wayne was on the show too. He was also a guest on the show.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there were so many good memories. Now I'm sitting there, and when we were at Barber, remember watching Barber, and on my tablet, I don't remember where they were racing MotoGP, but I got that on my tablet in the press center there, and there's Colin Edwards sitting there talking with us, describing the track to us that they're racing on.
Yeah,
and that was just like, you don't get that kind of.
No, there was a lot. There was a lot of cool stuff. I think there was a lot of cool stuff. That's why I say it's very hard to pick one particular thing out. But, you know, I remember when, so we should probably, for people that weren't listening at the time, when Michelle Smith was in studio, at that time she was living in Leesburg, Virginia. So she wasn't that far.
Yeah.
From where we are, but I was still sort of blown away that she accepted the invitation to come in the studio and do the show.
Yeah, you were like, so I invited her and we just kind of laughed. You're like, yeah, I'm sure she'll show up.
That's all I did.
She was in studio two or three times, wasn't she?
Twice she was in studio. Not three times. Yeah, okay. Twice that I can think of it. She was.
I don't. Did her TV partner come to this? I don't think he did he?
No,
because American Thunder was already off the air at that time.
Yeah. Okay.
It had gone off like a year or so before that.
Because I ran into him at Daytona Bike Week, and he knew.
I know who you're talking about.
I can't think of his name.
Well, he's actually the guy that started American Thunder, and I can't think of his name now. Which, you know what, we remember Michelle Smith. So there you go.
So we there is a reason we remember Michelle Smith over him. There's no doubt about that. But like I said, I got to hang out with him for a little bit. He knew about the doghouse, and we drank a little moonshine there, you know, Broken Spoke, and we had a good time. It was a good evening we had with him.
Yeah.
You know what also reminds me of just a memory that I think I'm always going to cherish from the show is when Ken and I went down to Barber. We went early because they were putting one of Dane Westby's bikes in the museum there. It was the year he passed.
Yes. Right? Yep. I remember
Or the year before he passed. I don't remember. Like he passed, and this was the next time they were at Barber. And we went early, and they did a happy hour to meet the riders at the Tilted Kilt. Do you remember that?
Yep. Which they should always do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and we walked in there, and there was all these riders, and they were just all kind of hanging out and stuff. And Ken and I talked to a few of them outside. I think we talked to Bobby Fong. Josh Hayes gave Josh, me an evil eye. And remember Josh?
Well, we talked to Josh Heron for a while, and that was the moment when we found out that Josh Heron was very, very much in sync with what we were saying was wrong with the series and what they needed to do. And he was right on par with that.
But also just remember some of the, like, he came over to the, I don't know if I've ever been so like confused and not in a bad way. He came over to us and he's like, what you guys are doing is great. You know? And I thought he meant like we'd come down there. And I was like, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. He's like, no, he's like, you guys get it. He's like, in Europe, there's podcasts, there's people interviewing, they're showing up the stuff. He goes, and over here, we don't have much of any of that. He goes, and what you guys are doing is great. He goes, I went over to Europe thinking nobody was going to know who Josh Heron was. He goes, and I'm sitting there in some places, and people are standing on my line for autographs, and I'm signing. I'm like, hey, how do you know? They're like, Heron, I'm a big fan, and I've heard a lot about you. And he's like, I'm like, how do you know? He's like, oh, I listen to this podcast because the dog called The Doghouse. Oh, I heard your interview on this, and you know, and he's like, man, he's like, that is just.
That's why you pay attention to us. And they never got that message.
Yeah.
We chased down pretty much all the attention that we got on our own. We got very little assistance.
No.
My biggest memory of the Doghouse was I was walking along around a pool at an all-inclusive resort in Mexico.
Oh, he's got to bring up Mexico again.
Yeah, yes, I have to. This is awesome. That was awesome.
And somebody says, with a heavy accent, right, with a heavy accent, which I later had determined was German, says, are you Ken from the Doghouse? I'm in Mexico. How the hell do you recognize me? You know, as Ken from the Doghouse, I was completely blown away.
Yeah.
And then he goes, stay here. My son, he's a huge fan of yours. And he brings his son over, who's sitting like in one of the kind of like beach chair sinks that's around the pool, comes over and he goes, and the kid goes like, oh my God, it's Ken from the Doghouse. Mom, it's Ken from the Doghouse. And it's like, holy crap.
Yeah.
This is my 15 seconds of fame. I could die now.
No, you came back.
And then you moved to Florida.
Your feet didn't touch the floor for like a month.
Oh, God. Awesome. That was closest I've ever come to feeling celebrity status ever. Yeah. And that was really cool. And then the problem was I couldn't get them to stop talking and get away. And it was literally,
all conversations with Ken are done after the first 120 seconds. He's ready to go.
At most 120. And it was literally 103 degrees. And we're standing there in the sun. And it was like, you're trying to be polite, but it was like, this is literally like Florida hot where I now live. So it was but it was really, really cool. And
I'm jealous of that. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
It was to me, that's my biggest memory of it, because here's somebody who's in Mexico on vacation from Germany, and they're listening to the show over there, and they're big fans over there.
That's just wild.
Right. Yeah.
I thought you were going to be like the bills for the bandwidth early on.
Oh God. Those weren't good.
Like
those weren't good memories. We got up to the point at one time where our hosting charges was almost $1,500 a month.
I know. Damn GoDaddy.
Well, and that's why my motorcycle shop went broke. I mean, that's just telling you.
There was a couple other reasons.
But that was a key one, I could tell you. Because I could tell you, it's like, okay, guys, this payroll's going to be a little late this month because we had to pay for the Doghouse bandwidth, right? But, yeah. So, no, that was, that's definitely, That's definitely that, and the shock that I felt when Michelle Smith agreed, said, "Oh, I'd love to do the show." I was like, "What?
Yeah.
Do you mistake me for somebody else? What the hell's going on?"
I'm Ken.
I'm Ken from the Doghouse. Damn it!
Internationally known Ken now.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there's just been some like really cool.
There's actually too many to mention. There really is. There's that many.
You know, and like. You know, Warren and I traveled to some that incident in Pittsburgh where all of a sudden you turned around, people walking in and checking into the hotel. I was like, is that the MotoGP race? And then just hanging out and watching.
Man, that is
I
cool.
Loved that. That was just like so much fun talking to people. And remember, Chuck Askman came down and Wayne Rainey was sitting there. And we even like I've had two world champs. World Superbike World Champ and a MotoGP free time champ sit there and talk me through a racetrack while watching it on TV.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because Wayne Rainey was like, oh, he's talking about this turn and that turn. And by then, I was so many captains and cooks into it. I'm not sure I understood. But damn it, it was cool.
Well, you know, and I think there was a time when we probably, in retrospect, should have realized that, you know, hey, we're talking to guys that are MotoGP champions, right? And World Superbike champions. Like, I mean, one of the most iconic world, Colin Edwards, was a multiple World Superbike champion. And it became almost, I don't want to say routine, but I don't think at the time we realized how significant it was, right?
Yeah. And like, and we were doing all this when podcasting was brand new. We were like out of the box. I remember sitting there and having to talk to somebody's PR person. And they were like, well, they've never done a podcast and I'm not sure we're going to do podcasts. I'm like, well, you're stupid. It's the way of the future. You know, and I'm like, I'm sitting there and they're like, well, what's your reach? And I was like, so when we were on radio, we had a reach of like 15,000 people. I was like, now we have 60,000 people every week download. Right. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know, and we were like growing. We were getting bigger at that time. You know, and I was like, you guys got to, you know, I was like, this is the future. Now show me a racer that doesn't do a podcast.
I know.
Show me a media. Like,
yeah, that's, you know what, Phil? It's just like all the women have always said to you. You did your thing too soon.
Yeah, well, you know. so long as I get my. You know what I wanted to do, and I totally
best answer. Best answer.
I totally didn't get the time to do it. Is I wanted to pull up the Doghouse show music you made with like the clips.
Yeah.
Oh my god! But I just think we had a lot of fun. You know, I mean, the traveling around with you guys, the doing some stuff, the, you know, I mean.
There's just so much. I mean, if you sat down and tried to list out all the stuff that we did over those 17 years, it would take the rest of your life. There was just that much stuff that went on.
And like, you know, every Tuesday, I'm going to kind of miss doing this with you guys. I know we're going to do something else in the future. And for people acting, it's not that I'm not going to follow motorcycle racing. It's not that I'm not going to do that.
Yeah, we're still fans.
It's just I feel like, and I know, I think you guys do, where I just want to broaden it, widen out, more creative juices, more different things.
I think that was actually one of the questions that I got in the email was, you know, it took, you know, why are you guys, what's causing you guys to stop it, you know, stop doing the show? And I said, I think that we finally all got to the conclusion that we've taken it as far as we can. We enjoy doing it. It's not that we don't enjoy doing it.
I still do.
It's just that we can't really develop it anymore. It's kind of taken as far as it could go. The next logical step would have been to take the Doghouse to YouTube. And I think that our initial YouTube experience wasn't real pleasant. So we never kind of followed up after that. That would have been the next progression. But other than that, it's kind of like,
I don't know creatively if that's a progression.
You know, it would have only been a progression.
It would have been the same thing, but with talking heads.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying it's when we started when it was really hard to get an audience on a podcast, and we're ending when it's very hard to get an audience on a podcast. Because why? Because everybody's going to video casting, yeah, right? Yeah.
Yep.
So we actually were early and late.
Way early.
Right? So, yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
But anyway, so, yeah, we went through
a couple format changes along the line, too. We've tried a couple different things over the years.
Yeah.
Went from lifestyle to racing and back to in between. And, you know, the last few years we've been focused almost exclusively on racing.
Which, and I mean, there was a time when we did a 2-hour show.
Yeah.
There was a time when we did a 2-hour show.
We would end and we'd be like, man, we didn't talk about this. We didn't do that.
Before we run out of time on our final episode, let's talk motocross, because one comment I want to make was when Ken says it's your championship to lose, you almost always lose.
Bring out the book of no accountability.
Yeah, it would be, but, and that now I'm being personally accountable, because I was the one that said it was Hunter's championship to lose. And he said, okay.
Hold my beer.
Yeah.
He was like, oh my God, it's a dugout's curse. I'm doomed and punted.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking if you were going to have, you know, that kind of a mess up, but he's not a guy that makes mistakes. He's one of the guys that makes the least mistakes in the 450s. And he decided, I'm going to wait till I'm only a couple races away from the end of the season, and it's very tight, and I'm going to drop my bike a quarter of a mile from where I land.
You know,
so I have to run uphill to get to the bike. And I'm by the time I get to the top,
you don't
of the hill,
realize how steep those hills are.
Oh, you when
watching
you saw
him on TV,
you seen him walking up that hill. You saw that was very steep. You know, so it was taking everything he could to trot up that hill to get to the bike, but
he wasn't running.
I don't think he could go any faster than he was going up that steep hill. But oh yeah, those motocross tracks, those hills are very steep. I mean, sometimes you have 200-foot drops in one section of a track. That's a huge drop. I remember, I'm trying to think. I think it was Reed who had one of those spectacular crashes in motocross where he went over a jump. He was way up in the air. Like he was like literally, he was like 30 feet in the air. Right. And as he came over the top of that hill on that 30 foot, and he's way up in the air like that, the track fell away from him. So suddenly he's not 30 feet in the air. He's like 50 feet in the air.
You know, Bubba Stewart had one of those here in Maryland.
Did he?
Buds
really?
Creek.
Buds Creek,
at the end of Buds Creek, remember? He like gassed it over that, and he was, when he launched, he was probably 30 feet.
Mm-hmm. But when he landed, like it was more 50.
Million.
Yeah.
Remember, didn't he break
well, at Buds Creek, the other thing about Buds Creek is that the mosquitoes will sort of cushion your fall.
Yeah, well, they'll catch you.
They'll
suck the blood out of you as you're
going. Yeah, on your way down. God, I hate Buds Creek. I have had nothing but miserable experiences at Buds Creek. I've been flooded out of Buds Creek 3 times, and literally, I think every bit of juice got sucked out of me at that track from sweating so much.
The owner was a cool guy, Jonathan.
Yeah, the owner was a cool guy.
Cool guy. But my God, that was a terrible place to be.
It was. It was a swamp.
It's the only reason in Maryland that it's still undeveloped.
Yes.
Otherwise, exactly. That track would not exist.
Yeah, it's literally in a swamp. And, but yeah, I mean, it's, we've had a lot of cool experiences. But, anyways, so I don't know that Hunter's blown it, but he's going to have a tough time now. Now he's going to have a tough time. What is he, like 12 points back?
Oh, at least that.
I think 12. I think he's 12 points back. Yeah, we don't want to be informative on our final episode.
No,
so,
no.
Yeah, that would be a mistake. Why start now? Yeah, I think he's 12 points back, or it's something around 12.
Close enough.
11. Close enough for the doghouse.
he's back.
Yeah, but I mean, and the thing about it is that I watched some of the interviews that were done after, and then after. And it's like, you know something? I will say
he was not a happy camper.
I will say something about the 450s that I hadn't really considered, but the 450s are really good at de-assholing somebody. Yeah. Because I've seen both Jet and Deegan become much more non-assholes just by being in the 450s, because I think this season's good for Jet, right? Because his brother's been the dominant racer in this season. And I think coming up to the 450s has been good and given a bit of humility to Deegan. His interview after, you know, after the race was like, who the fuck took
what happened to Deegan?
What happened to him? Put him back where he's not an asshole in this interview. But both Jet right and now. Him. But Hunter kind of was dodging the interviews after the race. He was just so pissed because
the body language.
He gave
the body
it away.
Language. Oh, he was not a happy camper.
If he loses,
he did not seem to be happy with his brother either.
Well, I mean, first of all, brothers don't like to lose to brothers, period.
That's true.
And when you they don't, I mean, it's a bad thing. There's a natural competition that takes place with brothers, and he had he had the recipe to win the championship. You know, just don't screw up.
And Ken's curse, he had that to go on against him too.
Yeah, and he did. I think he's just done. I think he's.
It's going to be hard. It's going to be that's what I would say.
I don't think he's like down on talent. I just think he's defeated mentally.
I think his confidence took a big hit this weekend. Yep. And I don't know that it's recoverable. He's got two races and now he needs his brother to screw up. That's what he needs. He needs his brother to screw up.
Which is still possible.
It is possible. That's the only way I think that Hunter could still pull off the championship. Yeah.
And what's really bothering me is that Jet is not 100% and he's still finishing well every single race.
Well, I mean, all you got to do is look at his past motocross experience. The guy's clearly been the best racer the last 3 years, without a doubt. Right. So, but you're right. He's not well. It was an opportunity for Hunter. And the good thing was that Deegan's learning, he had this great opportunity to win a championship. If he doesn't win, which is what it looks like right now, that's going to be a bitter pill, very bitter pill for him, because the likelihood is he'll never win a championship.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Now, in the 250s, I really think we're seeing, even though he's still behind by 1 point or 2 points, I don't remember, Cole Davies, still looks like he's the class right now of the 250s. And the roadmap is there for him to win the championship.
Yeah.
But he's going to have to earn it, right? He's going to have to earn it because he is behind by a couple points. But he's closed it way up. He was behind by 18 or 17.
He was behind by a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I
think Cole Davies squeaks it out. And unfortunately, I think it's Jet in the 450s. I don't have the
faith. I would have to agree. Hunter, I would have to do that.
I don't think it's going to be tough for Hunter to recover.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be very difficult for him to recover.
And it's a mental recovery that is the
worst. Yeah. I agree. It's kind of like, I'm sure he beat himself up about this more than anybody else could have possibly. And it's just going to, he's just going to keep stewing on it. Don't screw up. Don't screw up. Don't screw up.
Better about you beating yourself up. I'm sure if you called Ken, he could be worse to you.
I would be more than happy to fill in the blanks.
Come to me.
I actually have a business card that says on it that if you want to have your ass whipped, Ken's always available. It says it right on my card.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
and you are a motocross instructor.
I am a motocross instructor. I'm telling you, I'm a motocross chain link fence expert. Okay. Okay, I can put the two of those things together. I have personal experience with that. Okay, I can take down your chain link fence with a motocross bike.
I was just talking about the little kids that you've helped. Or do you not want to talk about that?
Oh, yes. Many, many kids. Many kids that I've helped over the years. Okay.
See?
Yes. I used to take them out to my ranch. They used to come out to my ranch.
I'm going to make you really mad. You're a good person, Ken Kaplan.
I am a good person. I am a good person. Only seen that way by people that are worse than me. Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much true.
We would still gladly go into the AMA Hall of Fame. You people mm-hmm. get off your ass and put us in it or start a campaign.
Yeah, don't even say that. No, don't even say that. I actually think if we got a call that you guys have been inducted, I'm wondering who would die first. You or me.
Warren.
Or would
I'd be all with you. I don't care about you guys. I'd be more than willing to go.
I'd ride out and get rid of Warren.
Yeah, but Warren, they may be willing you in. So, I mean, don't volunteer.
Yeah, Warren. Like
the doghouse curse goes both ways.
Oh, don't say that. Take that back in.
Yeah, you haven't had your time. Your time's a coming. It's a coming.
Anyways, people, it's been fun.
It has been. It's been a blast.
Goodbye, everybody.
I was going to say, you got like 30 seconds to talk to
me. Oh, okay. Well, hold on. Man. How about now? Goodbye, everybody.
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
This is how we torture Warren.
Yes. Hold it. Warren. You got to do it slower. So it takes 30
Goodbye,
seconds.
Goodbye, everybody.
Anyway, we'll never be back next week.
No, we won't be back next week.
Are we going to tell them how to look for us in the future on YouTube?
No, if you want to find us, look.
There you go.